In northern Iowa today, a group of farmers shovel the first dirt in the construction of a $60 million ethanol plant. It's one of a dozen plants being built across the farm belt. The push is expected to nearly double ethanol production within the next 2 years. Demand for ethanol as a gasoline additive also is expected to grow as a result of the Federal Clean Air Act. But some future ethanol customers are balking at having to use the corn-based fuel. NPR's Scott Horsley reports.
The plant breaking ground today is designed to produce some 45 million gallons of ethanol each year, making it the largest farmer-owned plant in Iowa. It's to be built in the middle of corn and soybean fields near the town of Lakota, Iowa, not far from the Minnesota border.
One of the main reasons we selected that plant location is because of the abundance of corn produced in that area.
Plant coordinator Brad Petersburg is a corn farmer himself, with about 1,000 acres under cultivation. He hopes the new ethanol plant will help to raise the price of corn in the region by around a nickel a bushel.
It's just a great opportunity for farmers to add value to their crop. If you multiply a nickel per bushel over millions of bushels, it's a substantial impact on the local community.
The Lakota plant will distill some 16 million bushels of corn each year. Monty Shaw of the Renewable Fuels Association, a trade group, says the plant is just the latest example of a building boom in the ethanol industry.
With the plant breaking ground in Lakota, you're going to have 12 ethanol plants under construction, brand new ones. And 30 of the existing ethanol facilities are expanding their capacity.
Part of what's driving this ethanol boom is a growing concern over a rival gasoline additive known as MTBE. Like ethanol, MTBE is added to gasoline to boost its oxygen content in places where air quality is a problem. But MTBE pollutes groundwater, and in recent years, it's been linked to cancer. By the end of next year, California plans to outlaw MTBE. Shaw of the Renewable Fuels Association says the state will need nearly 600 million gallons of ethanol to take its place.
This expansion with the 12 plants, that's enough for California. We're not going to stop there. So as this market firms up and we see what happens in California, you're going to see all the rest of these plants come online.
But California isn't exactly welcoming ethanol with open arms. All day and night, tanker trucks pull into this BP gasoline terminal in San Diego. Gasoline moves through hoses 6 inches in diameter, a million gallons every day, enough to supply filling stations within a 50-mile radius. Once MTBE is phased out, this terminal will have to add 6 or 7 truckloads of ethanol each day. Multiply that by all the terminals in California, and BP's Patrick Fitzgibbon says you've got a serious transportation challenge.
To me, the big issue is just nuts and bolts and practical. How do you get it from the Midwest and land it here in California?
Fitzgibbon says most of the ethanol produced in the country is too far from shipping lanes to come by water. And California doesn't have the railroad terminals to handle 600 million gallons a year. What's more, ethanol has to be trucked to individual gas terminals, unlike MTBE, which can be blended at a central refinery. State officials say solving these transportation problems will add about a nickel per gallon to the price of gasoline. And Fitzgibbon warns the price could go even higher if ethanol deliveries break down and supplies of gasoline run short.
It will create a mechanism for disruption that doesn't exist today.
For California consumers, who are just now getting some relief from the high gasoline prices of spring and early summer, the prospect of an ethanol-fueled price increase is galling. These customers, filling up at a San Diego service station, say leave well enough alone.
You know, I'd rather just keep the gas the same than add to the price.
Personally, I think it's just insane that the prices are so high, and I think they just keep on lowering them and forget about any extra things they're going to put in them.
Leave it as is. I mean, the economy's too high, if you ask me. Everything's going up, so I don't think they should put it in.
A higher price might be justified if adding ethanol actually reduced air pollution, but thanks to reformulated gasoline and more advanced emission controls, state officials say that's no longer the case. Even environmentalists say California doesn't need ethanol, and they've asked that the requirement be waived. Robert Ryder is with San Diego's Air Pollution Control District.
It might be confusing to the public that why are the environmental regulators now wanting to, in a sense, roll back the requirement. Well, it's because of the advancement of technology since the 1990 Clean Air Act amendments. The oxygen requirement was useful then, it's no longer useful now, and can do more harm than good.
Support for the ethanol waiver in California was widespread, including regulators, oil companies, and environmentalists. So state officials were shocked in June when the EPA denied California's request. Earlier this month, the state filed a lawsuit, hoping to force the agency to reconsider.
I heard the quote that EPA's denial was based more on political science than sound science, and that may be the case.
The EPA declined to comment while the lawsuit is pending. Politics has long been a part of ethanol's chemical makeup. Executive Director Larry Noble of the Watchdog Center for Responsive Politics notes just five of the top ethanol producers contributed more than $1.6 million to political causes in the last election cycle.
I think ethanol producers do wield a fair amount of influence in Washington. There is obviously a debate going on about ethanol, and there's a real question about whether or not ethanol would be a viable product if it did not get the government incentives for producing it. It's one of those situations where the government really has its thumb on the production, which also gives rise to a greater perceived need to be involved in the politics of the situation.
The ethanol battle isn't confined to California and the Corn Belt. New York and New England states are also planning to phase out MTBE beginning in 2003. Unless Congress or the EPA waives the ethanol requirement before then, drivers in those states may face higher prices to keep their gas tanks full. Scott Horsley, NPR News, San Diego.